Welcome, everybody. Christmas program this morning. We've got a lineup of great talent on the list here this morning. Before I start, I want to announce that we've got a credit card we found out in the parking lot. And I know everyone here is a Christian, so if it's not yours, please don't claim it.
There's a name on the back.
Weiss.
Huh?
There's a name on it.
On the other side.
Debbie Weiss or something?
No.
Oh, Weiss. Weiss, okay. Well, we'll just leave that here.
Does anybody know who that is that I could call?
Debbie Weiss?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Let's open up with our first Christmas carol. Number 90, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. Who needs a book? Bye. Church because of the devastating weather, this COVID, so many things going on, Lord, and we have so many desperate people this time of year. We want to lift them up. Pray they can feel the warmth of your spirit at your side. And we just pray here this morning that that your Holy Spirit will own this service, and that that we will open hearts and minds to what you would have us learn this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
First of all, Jan, I want to thank you for the generous gift, Christmas gift. Thank you so much for that. You've been handy with the kids being home, so we just thank you so much for that. Appreciate it. Also, prayer requests. Do we have any new prayer requests this morning? Just names only. Bill?
I have a request for a family who's lost a loved one, the Carter family. Reed Barner passed away.
Did you say Carter?
Barner.
Barner?
Yeah. Oh, Barner. Rita?
Her husband's name, Robert.
Oh, Rita Barner?
Rita passed.
Rita Signs. She was a Signs. Her maiden name is Signs.
Oh, my
goodness. She passed away either yesterday or the day before.
Oh, my goodness.
I knew she'd been having trouble. Yeah.
Praise that my daughter made it through COVID, too.
Okay. All right. Heather? That's a praise, then. I wanted to add Virginia Lamar. That's Peggy's close friend battling cancer. Peggy Lamar. Anybody else want to put a name up this morning?
Pastor.
Yes.
The Calvert that we've been praying for, they have put her in a rest home. She's really gone. She can only move her head from what we're hearing.
Oh, okay.
So, prayers for her.
We sure keep her in prayer. Sure.
Who was that by? Who was that?
What's her first name?
Peggy.
Okay. Anyone else?
I have a couple praises.
All right.
Pam is doing so much better.
Pam, your sister.
Yeah. She even cooked dinner yesterday for her son-in-law and daughter. And so she is really, really, I think, this time on the road to recovery.
Good.
And also Jody Weaver that's been on my prayer list for cancer. She had no lights light up, so she's cancer-free right now.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right, this time I'd like for Rush to come up and start us off with the Advent and get the candles lit for us so we can warm the place up. Okay.
Prayer here for us.
Okay.
See the light.
Got the light?
It's always good to see the light. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Now can you hear me? Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together this morning. Mm-hmm. And we thank you and praise you for the miracle of your son's birth. Thank you for bringing great joy to the whole world. Thank you for assuring us with absolute certainty that we who believe in Jesus can spend eternity with you.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, for the many reasons we have been given a Merry Christmas, and we rejoice for each blessing. New life, new love, a home, a job, good health, new opportunities, second chances, and much, much more. We know, Lord, that you bring the sun and the moon and set the stars in motion. You tell the ocean where to stop and the snow when to start. And we thank you for the mighty gift of your great creation. We thank you, Father, Pastor Mike and Jan, everything they do, and the church family, and the special fellowship we share here at our little country church on the hill. Thank you for the closeness and love between family and friends that means so much this time of year. Thank you for those who keep us safe at home and abroad. And we pray that you keep them safe. And although we know that we have many reasons to rejoice this morning, we also know December 25th can be not so merry for a whole lot of reasons. We pray for those who are experiencing loss this Christmas, for those dealing with unemployment and addictions, chronic sickness, heartbreak, effects of the pandemic, unending pain, and frustrations of all kinds. We acknowledge, Lord, that you are the wonderful Counselor and Prince of Peace, even in the midst of our not-so-merry circumstances. Finally, Lord, we ask you to grant us peace. Peace in our homes, peace in our churches, and peace in our hearts when the world is spinning out of control around us. Help us stay focused on you this Christmas time and always. Thank you for loving the whole world enough to send the greatest gift, your Son, so that we might truly have a Merry Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I should do this down there, maybe. I think they can hear me. For weeks we have listened to obscure messages from ancient prophets. In their words, we have caught glimpses of the light that is promised. All the candles of anticipation have been lit. Still, there is one last prophecy to hear. With eyes wide open, ears attuned, and hearts unguarded, we gather around the candles one last time, longing to receive the word within the words. A reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the days of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This day, these words are fulfilled in our hearing and in our living, for the promise of God has come to us. Our lives are the manger in whom the Christ child is born. No longer do we seek light from another source. Now the light burns in our hearts and we become love's lamp. So we light the candle at the center of our candles and our faith. We light it in the name of the one who is the light. And as Mary did so long ago, we name this light Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Russ. Now, what I've really looked forward to all week, and for the first time in many years, we've got a children's program. The Lord of all the Sandy and the Holy Spirit. She came forward and was led by the Spirit to start the class, and we look forward to it just building more and more. Thank you for all that you're doing.
Years before the birth of Christ, Isaiah prophesies about his birth. And in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, we read,
"For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder.
And his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace."
Now let us fast forward 700 years to what Matthew, Luke, and Paul wrote, beginning with Matthew chapter 1, verse 23.
"Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son,
and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us."
And in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, we read,
"For unto you is born this day in the city of David
a Savior, which is Christ the Lord."
And Paul writes in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4,
"But when the fullness of time was come,
God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law."
So over 2,000 years ago, on that first Christmas night in Bethlehem, God manifested in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16, in the person of Jesus Christ. What an incredible truth. The God of the universe came down from heaven that first Christmas night and took human form. In him were displayed not only the perfections that had been exhibited in the creation, such as wisdom, power, and majesty, but also perfections as justice, mercy, grace, and love. The Word of God and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Let us not lose sight in the miracle of that first Christmas. With the wise men, let us fall down and worship him. Very good, girls. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Okay, how about the Taylor twins?
I'll read first.
Do you want to go first?
Yes.
Do you want to stay right there?
Right here.
All right, let me get you the mic.
No, I don't need a mic.
Well, but we're recording, and they won't hear you back there if you don't have the mic.
You'll need it for Ida, but not for me. Priceless gift of Christmas. Now, Christmas is a season for joy and merrymaking, time for gifts and presents, for giving and for taking. A festive, friendly, happy time when everyone is gay. Well, we have really felt the greatness of the day. For through the centuries, the world has wandered far away from the beauty and the meaning of the holy Christmas day. It's ours just for the asking, for as long as we shall live. It can't be bought or bartered. It can't be won or sold. It doesn't cost a penny, and it's worth far more than gold. It isn't bright and gleaming for eager eyes to see. It can't be wrapped in tinsel or placed beneath a tree. It isn't soft and shimmery for reaching hands to touch, or some expensive luxury you wanted very much. For the priceless gift of Christmas is meant just for the heart, and we receive it only when we become a part of the kingdom and the glory which is ours to freely take. For God sent the holy Christ child at Christmas for our sake, so man might come to know him and feel his presence near and see the many miracles performed when he was here. And this priceless gift of Christmas is within the reach of all, the rich, the poor, the young and old, the greatest and the small. So take his priceless gift of love, reach out, and you receive, and the only payment that God asks is just that you believe.
Amen. Amen.
Sounds like a lot like
what I get here. You look that still? Oh, mercy.
Thou knewest the gift of God. Christmas is a gift of love that can't be bought or sold. It's ours just for the asking, and it's worth much more than gold. And the priceless gift of Christmas is within the reach of all, the rich, the poor, the young, the old, the greatest and the small. So take God's Christmas gift of love, reach out, and you receive. The only payment that God asks is just that you believe. Christmas is a heavenly gift that only God can give. It's ours just for the asking, for as long as we shall live. It can't be bought or bartered. It can't be won or sold. It doesn't cost a penny, and it's worth much more than gold. It isn't bright and gleaming for eager eyes to see. It can't be wrapped in tinsel and placed beneath a tree. For the priceless gift of Christmas is meant just for the heart, and we receive it only when we become a part of the kingdom and the glory which is ours to freely take. For God sent the holy Christ child at Christmas for our sake. So take this priceless gift of love and reach out, and you receive. And the only payment that God asks is just that you believe. I guess it was a lot like the same
yeah,
reading.
Yeah, about the same.
Neither one of us read the other ones.
Okay.
Just to repeat.
All right, well, that's worth
repeating.
It's worth repeating. Yeah. Okay, let's all stand now and sing hymn number 86, Away in a Manger. Number 86.
Bye. Apologize for not being able to sing this Christmas program day, because you know how I love to do that. But I'm still having trouble with these vocal cords, and I would ask you to continue to pray. And I went to a doctor this last week, and it seems like perhaps one of the medications that I've been taking is helping this problem along. So I've only been off of it for 6 days. So maybe soon I can sing without getting flat notes. Anyway, I appreciate your prayers on that. My reading today is entitled My Christmas Song, and it begins with Romans 15:12, which says, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope." Jesus, a Jew, came so all people would be qualified to experience his indescribable hope, joy, and peace as they place their faith in him. It's not a wonder that a great band of angels joined together in praise that night. Jesus is the true basis for every believer's hope and joy for this season and for all time. You may be alone today or with many people. You may be reading this Christmas day, or you may be catching up after a flurry of activity. Perhaps you are flipping through this book and you've stopped on this passage. Wherever you are and whatever your circumstance, you have a gift from the Lord for this very day. It's okay. A Christmas gift from God doesn't expire. The gift of God has for you each and every day is this. He is your strength and your song, and he always will be. God has the power to transform anything. We may think that a person or situation is completely beyond redemption, but God can reclaim even the most impossible of hearts and circumstances. We may have lost faith in believing for something, but God never does, because he knows what he is capable of. God, who has the power to speak the universe into existence, can certainly intervene in a situation and have his way in it. God, who commanded the dead to walk out of the tomb, can surely soften the heart of even the most hardened soul. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you for being my Christmas song. You are in touch with what we need to fill our souls, even when we do not know. Thank you for your kindness in coming to earth so that we could become your child. The thought of this fills our souls with gratitude. Thank you, God, that you offer redemption for my heart, my life, and my circumstances. Help me to trust you fully in the redemptive process so that I can enjoy the benefit of a life that has been changed by you. Amen.
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 Thank you, Carolyn. Okay, I think it's time for the Hancock's girls, if they're ready, or Ben, whichever wants to go first. Okay, Ben's coming up. All right. Let's see now. What are we going? Where are you going to play, Ben? Right there?
No, where do you want me to play?
Oh, up there if you want, if you would. Okay.
All right, I'm going to play Feliz Navidad. And if anybody knows this song, they can sing along if they want to.
Feliz Navidad.
I bet that's the first time we've had a saxophone playing at Pleasant Grove Baptist Church ever in the history of the church. Thank you very much for breaking the ice.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, girls. Girls have a good, a great song for us. Mary, did you know?
Oh, yeah.
And how do you want this in life, girls? A little higher?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Maybe closer.
Yeah,
you
have to sing
the
high
part.
Is that okay?
That's good, yeah.
Okay.
What?
Oh,
write anything this year, and thought about a lot about Mary. And today, as we have little ones in church, this is what Jesus was. This little one, these little ones, all of them. He grew, and at that time, Mary probably didn't have time to think too much about what he was going to be. She had four boys. and some daughters, so at least two. So she had at least six kids after him. I guarantee you she did not know, she did not have time to be thinking too much about what Jesus was going to be at that time. It's so good to see these little ones. This one kept looking back and saying, baby, and we don't see a baby, but it was, yeah. anyway, when they lost Jesus at 12, they couldn't find him, I can imagine why. Because if she had all those other kids, she, okay, what's one more, where at? I mean, you know. And then by the time Jesus turned 30, her other kids were probably grown. And that's why she would have been at the wedding with him. And was, because she would have been about 45 at that time, if she was 15 when he was born, which is what they think it was. So she had time. Push him along. Hey, get on with your ministry. You know, let's see what you're going to do. Had she known what things were going to be, I think that she would have maybe not been as thrilled to be having the Son of God born to her, because she had to see his death. And that was quite, and at that time still did not know. She knew what he had taught her, but still did not see the king that he was. So that's just a Mary's perspective for me. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, and by the way, he did cry in the manger. I don't know a baby that's born that doesn't cry when they're hungry, when they're cold, when they're wet and dirty.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that smell, and that awful smell.
Yeah, and that awful smell.
Yeah. That's Willie, will you?
John, can you read scripture for me this morning?
Sure.
I'll find it. Or you? Yeah. Luke chapter 2. What the old fashioned way, I've got it right here.
Yeah, I'll just read
okay.
It.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. John's going to read you scripture, Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 38.
21. Got it.
Might want to stand so they can hear you come up if you don't mind.
On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of the purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it was written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon, who was a righteous and devout. He waited for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was the custom the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light of, for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped day and night, fasting and prayer. Coming up to them, at the very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Those of you that were here and remember in our study of the Gospel according to Luke, it begins in verses 3 and 4, Luke 1. Luke starts by saying, therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. That's how he begins that gospel. Of all of the four gospels, the gospel according to Luke is probably the most chronological. Things happen in sequence of time. An orderly account, he calls it. The birth of Jesus was foretold to Mary the Virgin by the angel Gabriel. Mary glorified the Lord with her song. Next, Mary and Joseph went up from that town in Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem, the town of David. And the shepherds were summoned, remember, to witness this greatest of miracles, the birth of our Savior. Now, we can only imagine that there was much activity after the birth that's not recorded here in our opening verses that John read. But this is a story I want to share with you about two people that we don't hear much about. And it's a story of faithfulness rewarded. Its characters are Simeon and Anna. They lie neglected on the edge of the nativity story, just as they were in real life. The location is most important. The story begins and ends at the temple in Jerusalem, one of the world's busiest places at that time.
Amen.
Armies of priests were scurrying around all over, attending to their sacred duties. Pilgrims arrived daily to come to the city and see the spectacular things that were happening, and also to worship the Lord. They were coming from all over the known world. Here, within the Holy of Holies, dwelled the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Only here can he be truly worshipped, the temple. And here, of course, a number of local odd characters are on hand. You know, when we all go to a public place that has a lot of people around, there are always these odd persons around, people that we kind of overlook. Every place has them. Public place has them. We tend to ignore these folks. These men like Simeon. Simeon comes to the temple several times a week, drawn by his fierce devotion to God. Through the decades of his life, Simeon has clung on to one assurance, that his tired old eyes will look upon the Messiah before they close for the last time.
Amen.
The Spirit of God has whispered this promise to him. Imagine, he, Simeon, will behold the chosen one. Friends and relatives have, you know, gently reasoned with old Simeon, but he pays no attention to them. The Messiah will come, and he, Simeon, will see him. For years he has watched and waited. The priests, you know, have no longer register the fact that he's even there. He's so there so often. To them, he's just an old man living under a delusion, overlooked. Let him have his fairy tale, they would say, because it gives him something to hang on to. Today is different. Simeon is smiling from ear to ear. For today is the second time the Spirit of God has whispered to him. The message? Go to the temple, old friend. As he arrives, he sees the young couple with their baby. And he knows. The mother and father have brought their boy for his dedication. By law, all firstborn sons must be presented to God. Simeon feels that warm sensation inside he felt when he first was led by the Spirit. It tells his heart what he yearns to hear. Simeon hurries to the little family's side. The parents are startled by his attention, but slowly they relax. Joseph steps back as Mary smiles and gently offers her son to Simeon. The old man gazes in adoration at the soft, vulnerable bundle in his arms. Tears begin to flow through the deep wrinkles of his cheeks. Can you imagine holding God incarnate in your hands? The Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Creator of the world.
Amen.
The light of the world. As he holds the child aloft with trembling hands, the words begin to flow from him. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation for the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. On this day, priests and pilgrims and passersby stare at Simeon as if it's the first time they've seen him. Simeon is speaking to Mary, and only those within a few feet can hear. It is about the child being devoted, being beloved by many, but rejected by others. And just then, the second part of the story unfolds. Anna. A woman comes upon the scene and begins to worshiping God in a loud voice. All the regulars know her. It's Anna, who is 84 years old and thought to be a prophetess. Unlike Simeon, Anna never leaves the temple. For years, it has been her whole world. People sense that no one could be closer to God than someone who has dwelt for so many years in close proximity to the holiest place in the world. They say Anna was once married, but her husband died after 7 years of marriage. We wonder how many firstborn dedications she's witnessed down through the years. Yet she never responded like this. She's telling everyone in the room that the Messiah has come. She tells about the future works of Jesus, God Himself, the Lord of Lords, speaking through this elderly woman.
Amen.
It's hard to fully appreciate this day, isn't it? Imagine if you could, if you can, being there. For years, people will relive this remarkable day at the temple, just like we are this morning. The joyful message comes through channels no one expected. Not through priests, not through popular people with a lot of status, but through two old, forgotten relics of good old time religion.
Amen.
The message comes to them because they had been faithful. And one more message rings through the Nativity's story that is fulfilled with many messages. The message that God rewards the faithful. He rewards the faithful.
Amen.
The child, the Christ child, has come as a gift for all. To those in the past as well as the future. But those who know Him will tell you that some of the greatest joys of all are shared to the wise, faithful servants that the rest of us overlook.
Amen.
Let me end by saying, yes, God certainly rewards the faithful. No question about it. However, true children of God cannot become something other than children.
Amen.
Even when disobedient, even when we are weak, Christ's faithfulness to Christians is not contingent on their faithfulness to Him.
Amen.
Let me close with just a short passage of scripture found in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul begins by saying, here is a trustworthy saying, and he uses that phrase a lot, and we have to be real careful to listen to what comes next. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we disown Him, He will disown us. But this is the part I wanted to stress this morning. If we are faithless, He will remain faithful. For He cannot disown Himself.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for another opportunity to come and worship You in Your house. We thank You for those who have come. It's so encouraging to see young people here and as well as us old folks worshiping together with one common goal, and that is to honor and acknowledge the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save us from our sins, to provide a pathway to heaven. And we just thank you once and for all that you do for us. We're so blessed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's end our service with Joy to the World. Joy to the World. 87. Joy to the World. Much as I did. Really enjoyed everyone taking part. We're going to close with Brother Willie bringing the ending prayer, if you would, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again just for this day that you've given us. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. Lord, let us get the true meaning from Christmas, that your Son was sent for us. Lord, just thank you so much, and we just ask you to be with those who couldn't be here today. We ask you for loving kindness to go through this next week, to share your word with others. Lord, just thank you so much. In your Son, Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.